Thought for today. Socially, I like me. Socially, I like me. How about that? Socially, I like me. I am a very sociable person. I'm a person who likes other people. I'm a person who enjoys other people. I'm a person who creates around me lots of other people. And my sister keeps getting on my back. She keeps saying, "Herb, why are you so tough on the people who are around you? You scare them away. You'll have no friends at all." And I say, "That's true. I do not have any friends. I love everybody unequivocally. I love everybody unconditionally. I love everybody equally. I don't have one person that I love more than another. But there are some people who are more important in your life than others." That happens to be at the moment, and that changes from moment to moment. We have an opportunity to be ourselves and have fun. We have an opportunity to socialize and surround ourselves with beautiful people, or with people that we would work with and train and share ideas with. But I like to think of socializing like the glands in our body. The glands in our body are our social friends, so to speak. Every gland in our body has a specific job to do. And every gland in our body puts out just a tincture of the essence that they are. If they put out too much, it'll kill us. If they put out too much, all the other glands will go crazy trying to match them and meet them and keep them in balance. But when they give out that just little tincture, then the purity, the perfection, the ideal creation is maintained in perfect form. Your body is a temple. It's a wonderful temple. And in there, you have all of your friends. Your very social body. Your body rather depends on the glands and all of the organs and actions and functions to maintain itself. Your life activity, so to speak, depends on people you surround yourself with. Now, would you surround yourself with people who are irritants to you, who make you unhappy? Generally speaking, no. Would you surround yourself with people who are too goody-goody and too magnificent, and you say, "Oh my God, you know, that's too much"? No. Would you surround yourself with people who are older than you or younger than you? No, you always surround yourself basically with your peers. Sometimes you are a peer with an older person because that's where your thinking is. Your thinking is mature. We look at Andrine and we think of him, he's not a little person, he's a little boy, 8 years old, and he has a little boy's body, but he has a mature consciousness. He is probably most happy when he's with adults, because children do not turn him on. They're too immature. Although he's 8 years old, all other 8-year-olds are immature for him, and they don't sparkle him. Now, why did he come with this advanced consciousness for an 8-year-old? Perhaps for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old. He's always probably advanced. Why did he come that way? Well, it was his choice. It was his choice to be in an advanced stage through this life and to have this rather interesting approach to life that he has. It's not really an adult approach. It's a beyond the adult approach. It has a deep intellectual and spiritual magnificence to it. We'll know a lot more about this kid as time goes on. But our bodies are like this too. Our bodies have a tendency to age when we treat them as old. Our bodies have a tendency to be young when we treat them as being young. Our minds have a tendency to become stale and to atrophy, to become nothing, to just sort of be hardened. I don't mean hard-minded, but it becomes so that it doesn't receive any new information. Well, how does this happen? This happens through a misuse of our glandular system. And our glandular system is controlled by our mind. Our autonomic nervous system operates our body. It tells our body what things to do. But we jog our autonomic nervous system by doing certain things. We jog our autonomic nervous system by thinking that we're not treated right, by feeling sorry for ourselves. We jog our autonomic nervous system by thinking that this is just too good to be true. We live in bliss. That's another jogging. You say, that'd be good jogging. Well, maybe, maybe not. We jog our body into thinking that, that we can walk on water. And we train ourselves to do that. But if you can walk on water, truly, if you can walk over the water, you don't need water to walk over. You can walk through the air. You could be anywhere and do anything. You see, the mind has the capacity for accomplishing anything we wish in our bodies. Our mind has the capacity to transport us anywhere we wish, even with our bodies. Now, this is not a common thing, although it's more common than we know, because the people who do it don't talk about it. Why don't they talk about it? Because when they did talk about it, they were poo-pooed. They were told that's nonsense, even though they could demonstrate it. And it's just something that we do for ourselves. Okay. Now, I've been after you for a long, long time, ever since I first met you, to treat your body as a beautiful temple of the living spirit, to respect your body, to refrain from anything which is going to damage your body, alcohol, drugs, smoking, everything. I participated with you in many things. And then I just sort of let it drift away, and then you let it drift away. I didn't say you shouldn't do something, I just didn't do it myself any longer, and then you stopped doing it, which is a very fine thing. But do it yourself. Don't need a person to be your guide, a person to share with you what should be done, what shouldn't be done. Do it yourself. This is your temple. The temple not made by hands. This is your temple. And if you're going to put alcohol in your body, you know what the alcohol is going to do. It's going to cause certain glands to shut down and other glands to get busy. It's going to cause certain functions of your body to have a great deal of difficulty, like the liver, as it tries to translate that alcohol into something beneficial. When you smoke, you fill your lungs with a noxiousness that is destructive. And when you stop smoking for even a short period of time, your lungs almost immediately clear up. But when your lungs are filled with this smoke activity, they do not function properly. And your breathing is not proper. Many other aspects of your body are not proper. And it's not that the smoking is bad. It's not that the lungs are bad. It's just that the two do not harmoniously go together. Now, I've told you the experiences of walking through buildings that were on fire and taking pictures, as my news photographer days brought me to do. And I went in there not breathing the smoke. I just didn't breathe for a while or whatever I did, but I did not breathe the smoke. I only always breathe pure, wonderful air. And so I came out of the building. And the firemen had their gas masks on and their air masks on and they're coughing and so forth. And they say, "Marry, what's the matter with you?" And I knew them all because these were small towns. And I said, "Oh, am I supposed to do something?" I really was naive about that because that was part of my nature. And I was not affected by the smoke. But I courteously coughed for them, so they would feel comfortable. They didn't have that as their choice, but that's okay. Everyone doesn't have to walk the same path that you and I walk. And then I say to you, your body is a temple. Now, if you tweak your adrenaline gland, that's the fight and run or challenge gland. Oh, you're going to be a tiger. Oh my, will you be a tiger. But if you don't tweak the adrenaline gland, but you just let it be sort of quiet, then you do not have that overt feeling in you to be aggressive. If you have your insulin gland producing the right amount of insulin, then you don't have a diabetic condition. You don't have the inability to work with sugars and other types of chemicals in your body. But when you tweak these glands, and you tweak them so that they spurt out more than they should, then your body is not functioning correctly. The Ayurveda program teaches you tincture, the tiniest little bit of certain chemicals, of certain naturopath substances, but over a period of time to bring back the balance. Well, you don't really have to worry about those tinctures that the Ayurveda gives you, as wonderful as they are, if you will start appreciating what you're doing right now. Every time you put in excessive spices in your body, you are causing your body to get excited. You're calling, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, high ground and fight, ho ho! And you're all full of energy and you're sweating. You say, man, that's good stuff, you know, hot, hot, hot. And you're a fool. You're an idiot. You're challenging your body to not function properly. We look at our Mexican friends and we say, look at all the spices they eat. Yes, that's true. They don't have good hygiene there. They don't have good hygiene for their foods. They don't keep their foods properly refrigerated. So they have them steamed. They have them smoked. They do everything else to them. They salt pork them. Carne asada and all those things. And then they use a lot of spices to kill the bad germs. Well, if they would just stop, you say, well, that's a whole country, a whole nation. It's true. They have built this up over a period of years. Mexico, hot stuff. If you're a Mexican, steam goes out your ears when you eat. And I tell you, your body is not happy about that. You may get excited about it. It's just like sexually being excited, or being excited before a race, or being excited about something else. You know, when you win, oh, hooray, 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 the whole team shouts and shouts, and the Italian team runs all over and says, whoa, and they're kissing and hugging everybody, wow, wow, wow. If they lose, they don't do that. Why don't they do that when they lose? It'd be just as much fun to hug and kiss each other and get excited if you lose as if you win. But no, they have that little excess of spice in their life. Now, you see, we're training ourselves to be excessive. We have trained ourselves, and you continue that right here on campus, which surprises me very greatly. When Stefan came to campus the first time, he received some ketchup, and he fell in love with the ketchup. Wow, that stuff is good! And he would eat it by the spoonful. And I said, Stefan, it is a condiment. Condiment! It means a teeny little bit goes a long way. You just dip your sausage in the condiment and mustard, rah, rah, throw it all over the plate. You can't taste what the food is like. You don't even know what the food is. You don't know the beautiful ambience of the food. It's dead. You've killed it with all the spices. We should have our foods in as natural a way as possible. Klaus Peter is working on the Ayurveda program. He's working on a naturopath, and yet he finds spicy foods greatly enjoyable. That's okay. That's okay. But when he finishes his mastercraft as an Ayurveda person, he will find that the use of spices is in minute proportions, not by the truckload. Be careful what you do to your body, because you're causing your body to be excited over nothing. You're causing your body to get excited, and there's no place to run. There's no place to fly, and no place to swim. no place to play. And you wonder what's going on. Well, what's going on is that you have no respect for your temple of the living God. You dump garbage in it, you dump spices in it, you do all sorts of things that cause it to be a sewer. And then, when it doesn't act up properly for you, or when your world isn't as beautiful as it could be, you blame it on an outside agency. And it's not. It's an inside agency. It's you. You, the rascal, who has misused your temple. You. You alone. And you alone can straighten it out. Now, what do you want to do? How do you want to socially live in your community? Do you want to live with people who are of a different nature than you are? Do you want to live with a fighting group of people? Or do you want to live with lovers? Do you want to live with creative people? Or you want to live with dolts who have no interest but sit before the television or read novels? Oh my God, reading novels. Novels are just a trip out of yourself into somebody else's imagination. You've got an imagination far better than that person has. You heard Stefan today. Stefan was absolutely miserable. Absolutely miserable. He was at his lowest peak today. And his lowest peak was higher than Shakespeare has ever written. Do you hear me? He gave us something significant and meaningful all the way through. He didn't give us the drama of Shakespeare. He didn't give us the exquisite quality of Shakespeare's plays, their balances, but he gave us a balance of ideas to live our life in a significant way, to dream our wildest dream and accomplish whatever goal we have. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Did you know that when you listened to him and you said, yep, yep, that was you who was speaking? Yes, I know, love, you say yep every time you talk about Stefan. You see, every time we recognize who this is, we are the greatest, most wonderful beings on the face of the earth. We are the most creative, the most dynamic, the most outstanding beings on the face of the earth. But do we respect ourselves? Are you really careful of the people you associate with in your world? Do you only go around with people who have your like mind, who think positive, beautiful, marvelous thoughts? Or do you go around with people who haven't found themselves yet, who haven't recognize their place yet, who are being like Harry Potter, the wizard, who are being like the Lord of the Rings, fighting for what is right? Go ahead, fight. It makes you happy. War seems to be a game that people like to play. And mothers love to send their son into war because then you know they'll get killed, you know, or at least they're hoping they will. No, Herb, that's terrible. You shouldn't say such an ugly thing. Well, why do parents train their children to respect their country and follow its rules of going to war? Why do they do that? They do, you know. Mother, God, and country. You know? Our country should not kill us. It should not send us off to war. Our country should respect us and love us. But of course, we are those agents. We are those congressmen, those senators. We are those legislators who determine whether we should have war. We are those presidents who feel a self-righteousness for everything in the world and that they have to protect everybody. We are those things. And we train that into our children. We read about these Afghanistan youngsters who are 12 and 13 years old bearing guns, because their father was killed or their parents were killed and there was no place for them to go but the army, and then there they are out shooting, 12 and 13 years old, perhaps even younger. It's not unusual. It's not unusual. But is that for us? There now is peace on earth and it began with me. in my consciousness. There now is peace in my body, and it began with what my attitude is about my body. My attitude about my body is that it is whole and perfect. My attitude about my world is that it's whole and perfect. Socially, I look around me and I see everything in balance. I see everything in harmony. Why? Because that's the way I am. Do you see everything in balance? If you do, then you can be sure that's the way you are. Life is such a simple, wonderful, glorious thing. But what life needs, it needs your personal attention. You don't laugh at a child's smutty jokes and then wonder why the child grows up to be not a pleasant person to have around. We did that. We shouldn't do that. You don't put foods into your body that stimulate your body in a way that you're not going to do anything about. Because if you do that, you'll only destroy yourself. Remember, your body is the temple of the living spirit. Your body is not made by hands. In fact, your body doesn't need food or water or air. But this is a game you're playing. And the game that our friends in the Mediterranean countries, in Mexico, in the Polynesian country play, are spices. They love spices. But when we go to the Polynesian countries, what do we usually find? We usually find they eat the food right from the trees. They eat the more natural things. Oh, they'll have a wild pig now and then. They'll have a party like that. But that's not their staple. Their staple are the coconuts. Their staple are the pineapples. Their staple are the mangoes and the other fruits that are available to them. And they can become quite heavy. Or they can become quite perfect. It depends on what they think they should do. In India, it is thought that if you have a fat wife, then you are a wealthy man. Because most of the Indians experience very thin people because they don't have enough to eat. Yet those people perhaps are healthier than the fat people. Because the fat people have an excess that they're carrying around. You see, our body really doesn't need it, but we teach it that it does. We have a sociable body. It likes to be petted, it likes to be stroked, it likes to be bathed in oil, it likes to have all of these lovely things done to it. But be careful. Do not lust after that. Enjoy it when it happens, but do not lust after it. If you are constantly bathing yourself with oil, I guarantee you, you will soon no longer have an interest in it. You'll soon have to have your excitement more stimulized because the oil won't do it. An alcoholic is a person who drinks and he has no control over his drinking. And it doesn't give him the high that he had before. It just gives him a sickening attitude. The drug addict is the same way. He will take drugs for a period of time, and then he has to have something stronger and stronger and stronger because the milder drugs just don't do it for him anymore. He has jaded his body. He has killed the essence of his enzymes and his little tubes that spurt out just the tincture of things because now he has burned them. As they say, he's fried his brain. He hasn't factually fried his brain. But what he has done is to make his brain no longer giving the information through the autonomic nervous system to operate his body in a harmonious way. And we do that too. We do that too. When you use spices, a spice is a tincture. You use just a bit of it, just to flavor it. Anita, what do you do when you put a little perfume on? I gave you the answer. You put a little perfume on. You don't take it and go, swish, 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 swish. My God! Sounds like some woman coming out of a house looking to be loved. But you just put a little tincture behind each ear, perhaps. And then your friend who comes along and smells it, he says, "Mmm, you smell good." And you put a splash on there and it's, "You smell like a whore, my God." You know, he's looking for business, you know. But a little tincture, you smell good. You see, we always want to keep in mind why we're doing these things. We're doing these things because we want to embellish the flavor, embellish the experience, not kill it. But we do kill it every time we overdo it. We do kill it every time we forget the reason for it. Now, Stefan told you a story about this lady whose body did not decay for 800 years. The most significant thing that Stefan said about that lady was that she worked in somebody else's household. She was a maid, a simple, wonderful maid who lived her life in a most honorable way, who had perhaps healing virtues about her. She believed in herself, as he said. And she would speak her word for people who needed healing, and perhaps they were healed. He didn't elucidate in the story, but that perhaps was true. Now, she was not a pope. She was not Mary, Mother of God. She was not some glorious being, but she was a maid, a simple person. Now, each one of you are a little more than a maid. I don't mean that you're a maid being inferior, but you're a little advanced on a maid. You hire maids. You hire people in your world. And yet, you don't have what she had. That pure self-confidence, that pure self-love, that pure feeling that she wasn't necessary to somebody else's life, but she loved everyone. She gave her whole heart to anything she did, and she was so wonderfully successful. I'm sure in her life she had her ups and downs. I'm sure in her life she had her challenges. Maybe she loved someone that it couldn't work out. Maybe like Michelangelo, the one love of his life was this duchess that he could never have because she was above his station. Above his station. We look at the works of Michelangelo and we think, there's no station that could be above what he has done. He has been a glorified expression of divinity, shining out of his eyes, his hands, his ears, his nose, his being. And yet he was a normal human man who was angry, who was happy, who was dedicated. You too can fall into that very same wonderful program if you wish. You too can be this lovely person who, after 800 years, her body still stands in her glass tomb, unravaged by time, which is unnecessary. I mean, I'm sure she doesn't really care. But she left that body so pure, so perfect, so lovely. It had no purpose to do anything but exist like it did. We can do that with our bodies right now. We can love them. We can honor them. We can treat them and feed them and respect them in every wonderful way. And they will serve us for a long time as we live our eternal human life. And when we're ready to go to our next adventure, we might take it along or we might leave it behind. That's immaterial. But has it served us well while we're here? That's material. Has our body been our temple of the living God while we're here? That's the important thing. Have you respected your body? Have you said, "I like me, I 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 like me"? Have you said that? This morning as I walked the path, beautiful morning, 58 degrees, lovely outside, moon shining down, and I sang, "I like me." And the hills echoed back, "You got good judgment, boy. You got good judgment. I like you. I love you. Have a wonderful day."